Good evening, squirrels.
This is episode 350.
Why do you think that's like an important number? You keep saying, you've said that for like the past two episodes.
Because yeah. 350 is a nice round number.
Nice round number. It's the cubic inch displacement of one of the best Chevy motors ever.
That's oh, jeez. Okay.
Well, it's no 327 Cobra jet. But.
Well, no, but 350. I think the Chevy 350 will outlast cockroaches.
Yeah.
There'll be nothing left but cockroaches driving old Chevys.
I think you can buy those new in a crate still.
Do you two need to be alone?
Yeah. No.
Do you need a room?
That's just a warm up to the big news of the week. Nancy Pelosi filed articles of impeachment.
Did she officially?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think she's filed them, but
good luck, Nancy.
I'm not sure how that works.
They have decided that this is, you know,
the hill they're going to die on.
Yeah, Pelosi says
Democrats will drop articles of impeachment against Trump.
For what?
Now, here's the thing. For our younger viewers, the last time a president impeached, it was 1998. And the president was Bill Clinton. And the reason he was impeached was he lied in a court of law. Attempting to deny a citizen their day in court.
Right.
Deny their day in court, but, you know, in order to negate a claim. And was there, he very demonstrably lied. He admitted to lying under oath. And when the Republicans passed articles of impeachment, the absolute shrieking howls from the left were deafening. This is not something you impeached a president about a blowjob.
No.
We impeached a president about lying under oath in an attempt to deprive someone of due process of law. What he lied about is immaterial. Watergate was a fucking third-rate burglary.
Right.
It was the political equivalent of a smash and grab. That's not what Nixon faced impeachment for. It was for covering it up.
Right.
And you know what? Lie under oath, you're covering something up. The man had the opportunity to plead the Fifth Amendment, so he did not incriminate himself. That would have been a truthful thing to do. He would not have been his oath. There would have been nothing to file an article of impeachment. But no. He got up on the stand and lied. I did not have a sexual relationship with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
Well, you know, not only did he lie under oath, but he, as a lawyer and a lawyer admitted to the bar, he's an officer of the court. So it's particularly, it's bad enough when some citizen lies under oath in court. And I mean, let's face it, we know it happens all the time. You know, people get up there and swear to tell the truth and then lie their asses off. But, you know, when a lawyer and, you know, an officer of the court does it, and again, let's be honest, we know they do it all the time. But when you catch them at it, it is arguably worse. You know, it's like when you catch a judge doing some shenanigans. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like that whole held to a higher standard thing, right? I mean, it is arguably worse. And when the president of the United States lies under oath, you know, like Jay said, he could have easily just, you know, either ignored it because he's the president. You know, he could have pled the fifth because he's the president. I mean, the media would have covered up for him.
So why do you think he did?
Because he had an ego the size of the state he came from.
Hubris.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd gotten away with it for so long.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, and if Lewinsky hadn't kept the dress.
Right.
Or kept the dress soiled, which is a little on the creepy side, but, you know, presidio.
Hey, souvenirs.
Residue.
But if that dress had gone to the dry cleaners.
Oh, yeah. He'd have gotten away with it.
Yeah. If it weren't for those meddling kids.
Yep.
The point is, I distinctly remember the howling and gnashing of teeth and righteous indignation about the Republicans are tearing this country apart. They're trying to undo an election to remove a democratically elected president.
Right.
When the economy's going well and he's popular and they're just a bunch of poopy heads. And
which may have been the case.
Which, yes. And, you know, there was an all-out smear campaign. They dug up a 30-plus-year-old affair that Henry Hyde had. I mean, they went all in on, they went full seek and destroy mode. And this was the worst thing that had ever happened, and we had to stop this at all costs. And also, the day Lewinsky testified, we had to attack Iraq. You remember Iraq? That was the country that we were told George W. Bush invaded to, quote, avenge his daddy.
Right.
You know, that 5 fucking years later, the media was all like, I don't know why we're invading Iraq. They've done nothing to us. 5 years before, Bill Clinton launches an attack the day his girlfriend dies. And it's all, the Republicans want to impeach the president during a time of war. That's treason. 5 years later, it's, I don't know why on earth we're invading this country. They've never done anything.
Wasn't there a movie they made? Wag the Dog?
Wag the Dog, yeah.
Yeah. If any, like, politically minded people have not seen that movie, go watch it.
Oh, yeah.
It's, yeah.
You know, it's just, it's very interesting watching the proceedings now
and comparing
them to 1998.
Well, the whole thing I find interesting about this whole impeachment thing is the Ukraine element. Okay. The Ukraine is admittedly one of the most corrupt governments on the planet. But over and over we see this Democrat tied to the Ukraine, Hunter Biden making big bucks in the Ukraine.
You keep seeing this
Ukraine thread throughout this Democrat thing. And it's almost like
projection.
I hate to bring that up again because it's all they ever do, but it seems like they're trying to, you know, when a kid a kid does something naughty and tries to blame his brother.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's like they're trying to, deflect. There's something else going on with that. I mean, aside from the whole, you know, they hate Trump. They want to get rid of Trump. They've been talking about impeaching Trump before Trump was even inaugurated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the media and everybody
the day,
on the other
the
side.
The day he was elected, they started talking about
started
impeachment.
Talking about impeachment. Sure. Yeah. So, you know, aside from that, it just seems like there's some other thing going on with Ukraine.
Yeah, it's actually mind-boggling because isn't Hunter Biden going to come to light when they start talking about the Ukraine? I mean,
you would think.
No.
So it's almost like, are they deliberately trying to torpedo Joe Biden?
Well, here's the thing. I think that they are trying to deflect the attention from Joe Biden on the Ukraine. I think that's what they're trying to do because they know that Joe Biden's going to be the candidate. And I think they're trying to, you know, oh no, look over here. But Trump.
Yep.
I think that's what they're trying to do. And they're failing miserably.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
today that Biden came out and said he would not testify? Well, no shit, buddy.
This was after he put out a, and I'm going to use Mediaites
phrasing, a very viral video. Yeah. It didn't just go viral. It went very viral. Where Biden was saying how world leaders are laughing at Trump. Justin fucking Trudeau and Macron of France.
Yeah.
You can laugh all the fuck you want, you impotent fucks.
Thank you, Jay. Yes.
You know, Justin fucking Trudeau, Justin blackface Trudeau is the one laughing at Trump. And Biden is highlighting Joe Biden. Joe fire two blasts through the door, Biden. Joe, the kids felt my fucking hairy legs, Biden. Is talking about anyone being a laughing stock.
Oh, I love Randy Jay so
Jeffrey,
much.
This is Jeffrey Dahmer complaining about someone's meal choices, folks.
You know what was really, I saw right before the show this evening, I saw a video on YouTube by, I think I talked about her before, the body language expert lady.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
And I think her name is, like, the YouTube channel is, like, Body Language Ghost or something. But she talked about this this thing where Trudeau and Macron or whatever the fuck, Macaroon, whatever his name is, from France, the one with the old lady wife.
Macarena.
Macarena, whatever his name is. And then Boris, I keep wanting to say Boris Yeltsin. I can't remember his last name. I think I'm from Johnson. The UK, Boris. Thank you.
Boris. Yes, the Donald Trump of the UK.
Right. They were all sitting around mocking, you know, making fun of Donald Trump. And included in that group, by the way, was Crown Princess Anne of Great Britain. You know, horse face herself.
What relation is she to the pedophile?
Sister.
So there you go. You know,
yeah, good company, right?
This is great company, you know?
But this body language expert, she was talking about Trudeau, and she kind of analyzed this whole exchange that was caught on video of them mocking Trump and making fun of him. But she really focused in on Trudeau and on how no matter, like, in, you know, how all these, like, they have all these get-togethers where all the world leaders get together and they meet and they have the summit or the whatever conference or blah, blah, blah. And they all meet together.
Yeah. And they talk about how flexible they're going to be.
Yeah. And she focused on Trudeau on how time and again, and it's on video, she has video evidence of this, of where Trudeau is ignored and brushed aside by other world leaders.
It's because he's
over,
you know,
and over.
He's the Prime Minister of Canada. You know, it's like,
I know, it's Canada. She kind of linked it up with the fact that, like, he was in this little, like, gossipy group of these world leaders, and they're all gossiping about Trump, and he kind of felt like, this is my chance. People are listening to me, and people are paying attention to me, and, oh, I'm going to play up this, you know, blah, blah, yo, Trump's team, their jaws dropped. But if you really watch it from this perspective of this body language expert, I felt sorry for him. I was like, oh, you poor dork who nobody pays attention to, and you're the awkward kid at the party. And everybody kind of humors you. And I felt bad for him.
Just gonna say that, Brita. It's that dorky kid at the party who's trying so hard to get everyone.
So
to
hard.
He's playing the records and
yep.
Okay, kids.
So hard.
But he's just,
I recommend the video. I'll link it in the group. I'll link in the Squirrel Pork group. But it just, at that point, I was like, oh, poor Justin Trudeau. Bless your heart.
Yeah.
And I thought it was funny where Trump called him two-faced. Considering he had the blackface issue.
Yeah, he is two-faced.
Yeah. But this is the person that Joe Biden is so concerned about America's image.
Right. Joe Biden.
Oh, my God.
Joe Biden. Who just, like, Justin bit his blackface. Wife's finger.
Yeah. I mean, that I think, you know what? I'll bet that was supposed to be. That was supposed to be the Al Gore kiss.
Oh, you know, no.
For that from 2000?
That was, oh, boy. Oh, no.
For Gore. Because it was one of those things that people say, I'm too robotic. I will give my wife a... It's Elizabeth Warren having a frosty malt beverage with my adult life partner.
Yeah. I'm going to go get myself... How did she say it? I'm going to get me a beer.
Yeah.
How many times did she practice that?
I'm going to get me a beer. Hey, kids.
Yeah. Hey, young peep. Young peep.
Oh, my God.
It's that I have to do something to be seen as more likable.
You know,
so I'm sure Biden was, Joe, you got to come off less creepy and more. You know.
Oh, that worked out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, oh, just, you know, go give your wife a kiss or something. You know, like just a little, a little display of affection. It humanizes you. So then he's like, what do I do? Bite her finger.
He's another lizard person, so you know.
Yeah, I've been married 23 years. I have never been compelled to bite my wife's digits.
Yeah.
It's just
while she's gesturing with her hands.
Yes, while she's giving a fucking speech. Hold on, honey, let me bite your knuckle. No. Maybe Jeffrey Dahmer.
You know, it's funny though that you mentioned the Al Gore kiss. You know, the first time I saw that, and every other time since I've seen it, it's like I get the impression that that's like the first time they ever kissed. You know, it was literally that awkward. You know, it's like I can easily imagine these two people. You know, marriage of convenience. They don't really get along with each other.
And they were sweethearts in high school.
Yeah, so
or no
say.
College.
Yeah, so they say.
Based that movie on them?
Yeah, they said
love
that about
story or something.
They said that about Bill and Hillary Clinton too, and you know how that worked out.
Yeah.
Well, who
says she's not a lesbian? Because she likes men.
I'm just like I'm almost like, you know what? Don't touch that with a 10-foot pole.
You know, somebody made a comment on the post in Facebook. I forget who it was. But you got to remember that Hillary Clinton's a lawyer and she's married to the Mr. Definition of Is. So when she said, I've never had a lesbian affair.
That's right.
The point was made that, well, an affair implies that there's some sort of love and relationship and something like that, which Hillary is clearly incapable of. So, yeah.
Yes. Being a lizard person.
Right. It is entirely possible that she's a lesbian and has never had a lesbian affair because she never gave a shit about any of them. So,
yeah. Or she had them before she and Bill were officially married.
So it's not an affair.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Her roommate at the girls' school that she went to everybody reported they were a thing.
But again, you know, trying to humanize her. That's the biggest problem the entire field is running into. And it's probably why they're marginalizing Tulsi Gabbard.
She's too, because, she's too like normal.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is, she's like, you look at her positions and she's a flaming leftist.
Right.
So it's mind boggling why they wouldn't be getting behind her. She's young.
She's not in the lizard club.
Yeah, there's something going on there. You know, and then Kamala Harris exiting the race, and, well, I guess it proves that America's not ready for a woman of color to be president. Like, lady, you're running for the Democratic nomination, so if anybody ain't ready, it's the Democrats.
Yeah, that cracked me up. All the charges of racism because Kamala Harris had to cancel her campaign. And we're talking Democrats here. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but I would crawl over broken glass to vote for Condoleezza Rice.
Condoleezza Rice.
To throw a name out there.
She's too smart.
Nikki Haley, apparently not dark enough.
Yes. Yes.
Indians don't count.
Nope.
Yeah, why is that?
It's because they're
Because she's not Republican. If she's a Democrat, she'd count.
No, but just in general.
Like, Indians in general is because they come over and they have jobs and they have families and they're very traditional. It's like, you know, like the Jews. You know, Democrats don't like Jews either for that reason.
Which is funny because so many Jews are Democrats.
Yeah, well.
Let's say my son had a very good friend who's Indian, and he was darker, physically darker than my son, several of my son's black friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if it's all we're just these horribly racist who don't like brown people, what about the Indians, Pakistanis?
Well, those are the wrong kind of black people.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, oh, we don't like, you know, there's no minorities. What are you talking about? They're like 80% Asian. Oh, well, they're white. Well, whoa, hold on. You know, George Zimmerman is a white Hispanic. What?
Yeah, who just filed a $100 million lawsuit.
You're welcome. I figured that'd be a good way to make a segue. But you know that it's this identity politics are great except when it works against us. This horrible thing happened. This awful white racist shot an unarmed black man. Oh wait, he's Hispanic. No, he's not Hispanic though. He's the wrong kind of Hispanic.
He's a white Hispanic.
White Hispanic, which is hysterical because you look at pictures of Zimmerman, you're like. No. He's one unbuttoned shirt away from being a cholo, you know?
He's also half Jewish.
I think Zimmerman. He's one Epstein.
Yes. One Epstein.
Epstein who did not kill himself. There. But yeah, it's this is a very interesting time we are living in. I'm very very curious to see how the impeachment works for the Democrats.
Well, I think they're doing this impeachment because they know they're fucked in the election. And I think this is their last ditch effort. Because honestly, like, the economy's terrific. You know, things are going okay. People are pretty satisfied. They're like, all right, things are, you know, we got our light bulbs back.
They're also thank you, they're Trump. Also losing ground in the black vote. They're losing huge there.
Compared to the actual elections, they're getting demolished.
Right. So, well, but you know, you have to wonder what is the point of all this?
Other than
Orange Man Bad. I mean, you know, because you impeach Trump and then you get Pence.
Yeah.
Now,
well, Pence, I think they think they can beat Pence.
Pence is not Trump.
It's not about removing Trump, though. That's the whole thing. They don't want to remove Trump. They don't want him to actually be removed from office.
Well, they know he won't. They know the Republicans. I mean,
but they want to drag this out through November. They want to drag this out.
Well, they're not going to do that.
Compromise national security and blah, 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 blah.
That's not, I mean, there's no way they can drag this out until the election. I mean, there's just not enough time. They if they wanted that, they started it too soon. Because, you know, they're going to.
But why? Why can't they drag it out for the next 10 months?
Well, because.
Because people get bored.
Yeah, people are already bored with it. That's why Pelosi's like, yeah, we're going to do articles of impeachment, and now the House has to vote on it. That'll be interesting.
I wonder if they're doing it now so that it's forgotten.
Well, that's what I wonder too.
That's my guess.
Forgotten that they tried it.
Well, here's the thing though, because if it goes nowhere, if they pass it and it fails in the. Then you blame it on the Republican. Even though Donald Trump was guilty of all these horrible crimes, the Republicans covered for him. They're going, I'll mark my words, they're going for the whole Megillah. They want to flip the Senate,
sure,
keep the House, and take the White House. And they think this is it. They think they've got it. They've got Donald Trump request. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how when the person who is the victim of a shakedown says there's no quid pro quo. I'm trying to understand here how this happened.
So, but now I want to take it one step further. When in American foreign policy did a quid pro quo suddenly become something you can't do? Because that's all we've ever done.
That's politics.
That is the definition of international politics.
Yeah.
It's quid pro quo. That's all there ever is. Otherwise, nothing would happen.
Right, exactly. That has been my question the entire time. I'm like, why are we even talking about this? This is politics. This is how things work.
And if you want our money, you need to do certain things.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, if we're giving the money, well, damn it. You know, we should expect something in return.
Well, that's generally the case.
And the fact that we shouldn't is...
Obama did lots of quid pro quos.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about the Biden quid pro quo, where what he was caught on tape saying that, you know, blah, 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 and if they don't fire this guy...
Oh, yeah.
And that was... When he was vice president. Yep. And you can't tell me that didn't go to Obama, right?
He was vice president in 1976, so how can this be?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find a thing here. Okay, flashback. Withholding. Oh. He threatened to withhold stuff. And then pushed out the Ukrainian prosecutor. He was like, if you don't get rid of the prosecutor, we will not give you money or whatever. Talk about quid pro quo. Yeah. And this prosecutor, if I'm, you know, I'm probably talking on my ass right now because I'm, you know, looking it up as I go. But I think the prosecutor, something was related to Hunter Biden.
Yeah, or the company that was paying him or something like that.
Yeah, he wanted to get rid of
that guy because he was investigating.
Oh, wait, okay. President Trump has, it says, falsely claimed that Vice President Joe Biden, this is from the Washington Post, pressured the Ukrainian government to fire Shokin, a top Ukrainian prosecutor, because he was investigating Ukraine's largest private gas company, Burisma, whatever, at a time when Hunter Biden was on the Burisma board.
There you go.
Dun, dun, dun. But which of is, course, which you, is funny Washington Post says, oh, no, it's fine.
When there's actual audio recording of Biden saying that.
Yeah, bragging about it.
Bragging about it, right. So, you know, come on, what is it, Washington Post? Is Biden a liar or is he, you know, or did he do it? Which one?
Right.
It's like the sweaty guy with the two buttons, you know, it's like.
Yeah.
which one?
Yeah. But, you know, if Biden doesn't, it's fine. Trump doesn't, and we should impeach him. Okay. All right. I'm just taking note of the rules right now.
I think they're so, you know, they're so in a froth. I mean, ever since Trump won the election and they started scheming and conniving to get rid of him, it's like they're so obsessed with that and so focused on that. They can't see beyond that. I don't think there is an end game to this other than lopping off the head of figuratively of the guy that denied Hillary her rightful place.
I think there is. I think that they're trying to drag him through the mud so much that he loses in November.
But that's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
They think it will because they thought
Hillary was going to win too.
Exactly. I mean, I'm sure they, you know, their polling shows whoever runs against him is going to win by, you know, 400 electoral votes.
I bet their honest polling doesn't.
Yeah. Well, and this is a little bit of hedging. See if we can
Meyer, Trump. Now, again, here's another thought. All the time that's being spent on this, Trump is not fundraising. Mm. What else are they doing? They're not voting on legislation that he's proposed, like that, what the hell is it, the USMA? Is that the, it's been sitting for, no, I got to look it up because I'm like, USMCA maybe? There's some like legislation that's been waiting for the Democrats to act. Ah, United States, Mexico, Canada. That's what it is.
Yeah, they don't care about that.
And the thing is, the more they focus on impeachment, they don't have to do any of that. And they can abdicate their responsibility. We, you know, well, we had to bring to light the president's misdeeds in selling out our country. I mean, they're the heroes here. They're standing on the hill with the battle hymn of the Republic playing behind them. This is, look at us. We are the protector of freedom. Without us, Orange Man might get something done. We can't have that. He might lower unemployment for black people some more. We can't have that. He might raise the quality of life for the middle class more. We can't have that.
We got to save our phony baloney jobs.
Exactly. He might lower the cafe standard to something fucking realistic. We can't have that.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Greta von Thunberg scolded him. He has to go. He's mocked by Justin Trudeau. How could we possibly have him as a leader? Charlie Manson said he sounds a little crazy. I mean, come on. They're willing to do anything. And they don't care. And they know they won't face any repercussions. That nobody is going to say, you had three witnesses that witnessed nothing, and it was complete and utter bullshit. What the fuck is wrong with you? The only condemnation from their side was that none of the witnesses was a person of color.
Like, oh, no.
Oh, what? Yeah, that was funny.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, so not enough people of color were witnesses.
That's a joke, right?
No, yeah, it's not a joke. It actually, yeah, that's a thing.
Okay. I'm not even sure how to react to that anymore.
It is, you know, it's funny because there are a handful of authors who have taken, you know, the political leftist political correctness, sort of like extrapolated it to ridiculousness and then written novels about it. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like if somebody wrote it in a novel, you'd be like, that's just stupid. Yep. Nobody would be that dumb. And then you hear somebody actually complain that they're up that you know it's racist because there weren't enough people of color that were impeachment witnesses. And you're just like
And Alan, he's from Texas.
Oh, was that? Which one was that?
Al Green.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like was
he friends with Hank Johnson?
Hey, yeah. Guam tipped over. Yep. We have experts, but not one person of color. They weren't choosing experts, Al. They were choosing witnesses, and I'm making air quotes because they witnessed nothing. They did not see anything. And I just want to pause for 1 second and say that fucking Carlin, for all of her faults, what she said about what she said about Barron Trump is ridiculous to get upset about.
Oh, yeah.
He said he can name his son Barron. He can't name his son a Barron. There's nothing wrong with that. And just stop because you look fucking retarded. Saying, oh, she should leave his son out of this. No,
She didn't say, you know, your son's a, she didn't say he's bad. Naming him Baron was bad. Anything like that. She made a comment based on, you can name him Baron, you can't name him Baron. It's actually fairly clever. But she didn't.
I think it was the mean-spiritedness that it was, that was how, I don't know. Oh, I just think it was pointless. I mean, it was a dumb thing to say, and it was pointless. And why bring in somebody's kid at all into impeachment hearings? I mean, it's just, why?
Yes. But, you know, don't make it a big deal. Because then,
no, it was not a big deal, but it's something, and it kind of like reveals their character.
Oh, absolutely.
Why even bring up someone's child at all in this sort of venue? You know, it's just petty and stupid. Why? And I think that kind of sums up everything, like petty and stupid.
Yep.
But these people are petty and stupid.
The why is, we can bring your kids into this with impunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a power play, pure and simple. That if you mention Hunter Biden, who is a grown ass man.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. He is a grown ass, whoremongering cokehead. That's out of line for Trump to mention it. But we can bring your 13-year-old minor child into things.
Yeah, but don't you dare say anything about the Obama kids.
Right. Right. Who are both adults now, if I'm not mistaken?
I believe so.
That's one of those things. Okay, side rant for a minute. It's right up there with military service that the media very conveniently flip-flops.
Right.
Chelsea Clinton was off limits. No. And to be fair, Rush Limbaugh's comment was fucking retarded. And I wished he'd kept his fat pie hole shut. You don't bring someone's looks into things. She's a horrible leftist who has a ridiculously overpaid job only because of her last name.
Right.
Yes. But she has no control over what she looks like. And it's bullshit that, you know, the family dog. Ha ha ha. That's stupid. But Chelsea Clinton was off limits, but Jenna and Barbara Bush, Katie bar the door. We're going after. They brought their Secret Service in to a bar where they drank underage. Meanwhile, Molly Obama smokes pot and
crickets.
Not crickets. How dare you bring Obama's children into this? How dare you? You stolen their childhood. Oh wait, no, that's another child, but. And then when it comes to Baron Trump, it's fucking open season on this poor kid. It's just like military service. George H.W. Bush, Bob Dole, certified war heroes against draft dodging Bill Clinton. Military service doesn't matter. When it's George Bush, who was AWOL, against certified war hero Al Gore, you better believe military service means something. Ditto John Kerry. And then 2008, it was war hero John McCain against Barack Obama, who did not serve. He didn't have to serve. There's no reason for him to serve. But the military service that had been so important in the past two elections vanished in a puff of smoke. Just like children of candidates, fair game, not fair game, fair game, not fair game.
Well, it's the same thing for war coverage. Remember the anti-war protests that were the entire presidency of Bush? Code Pink was everywhere. The news, war protests all the time. The day Obama took office, crickets.
Well, homeless. Yeah. The homeless, same thing. Republican wins. It's a crisis. Oh my God, this is horrible. Why won't someone do something about the homeless? Then a Democrat wins. What homeless? There's no homeless. There never were any.
How dare you disparage those urban outdoorsmen?
Urban outdoorsmen. Yes, it's their lifestyle choice.
That's right.
They're sticking it to the man. Look, no, it's Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
You notice that kind of vanished too.
Yeah, of course. And remember the faux pas of the children? Oh, look at these awful pictures of these children in cages. Oh, wait, that was during Obama's term.
Yeah, that
article went poof. They didn't even bother correction or retract. You know, they just disappeared it down the shithole. Boop, gone.
Kind of like, oh, Donald Trump went golfing over Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Now, to Newsweek's credit, they did fire the journalist. Now,
only because they were caught.
Yeah.
They did fire the editors who approved that.
Right.
So
I'm wondering these days, do people actually have editors anymore? No. I mean, or are they just tweeting out whatever the fuck they want? Because that's what it seems like.
That's sure what it seems like in a good number of these.
They're in such a race to get it out so quick that they don't have time for editorial oversight. Editorial oversight is like the correction or the
retraction.
The retraction 5 hours later or, you know, whatever.
It just boggles my mind that anybody thought that that was going to work. I'm just going to go ahead and put this out that, you know, he's gone golfing. I mean,
they assumed that was what it was going to be. Remember, he didn't like all presidents, including Obama, including Clinton, all presidents that go out to visit the troops in these war zones, they do not advertise it ahead of time for obvious reasons.
They should not.
So, you know, this was a story that was prepared ahead of time that, you know, they just assumed this was what it was going to be. Ha ha. Clinton, Trump, look at what an a-hole he is. You know, he's going to go, you know, he's going to, you know, be a rich, rich old white guy and go golfing. Ha ha ha. And whoops, jumped the gun.
Yeah. I don't think they meant to publish it.
No. Well, they meant to publish it. They just didn't mean to, you know, they didn't.
You know, it's one of those things that you could have accomplished the same thing with. The White House has not revealed President Trump's plans over the weekend. It's a subtle dig. It's the White House is not cluing the press in. Speaking of the White House and the press.
Oh, boy.
Fucking Bloomberg News. Are you fucking shitting me?
This has been like the best Randy J episode in a long time.
Bloomberg throws his hat in the ring. Bloomberg News is like, we are not going to criticize any Democrats, but fuck Trump. Trump says, fine. Nice press credentials you used to have. And the head is, oh, this is the greatest threat to the Republic ever. He's revoking press privileges. It's Kermit the fucking Frog. The frenzy flail because he pulled their press guy. Like, are you shitting me? They admitted in fucking print they were only going to criticize one side of the equation. They announced ahead of time, we are fully fucking biased. And Trump's like, well, you know what I can do? I could say, fuck you, and the horse you rode in on, and it's Trump's fault.
Well, yeah. What?
Huh?
Their name is Bloomberg.
Anything they put out is a plug for Michael Bloomberg.
You think?
How?
I don't know.
But again, it becomes Trump's the bad guy.
Well, because Trump's the bad guy, and that's, you know, it doesn't matter. Trump's breathing, he's the bad guy. How dare you emit carbon?
But again, you know, this is going to be, it's going to be 2016 all over again. They're not going to know how could he possibly have won. We were cheating as hard as we could.
Well, so that's a concern. So they went into the 2016 election with frankly, assuming the win.
Of course.
Hillary.
It was her time.
Hillary
right?
didn't even bother to really do that great of a campaign.
She didn't even go to Wisconsin.
Right. She assumed she could just sail in and everything would be fine. And, you know,
that baffles me. Like, Hillary is one of the most unlikable people.
Well, yeah, but she was against Trump. And ha, 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 there's no way Trump can win.
And Elizabeth
Warren. They had it in the bag. Mm. Why bother?
Yeah.
It's like those people that are in the race and they start celebrating when they're 50 feet from the finish line and some guy races past
them. It really just shows how little they know the American people.
Right. But you think about it. And you know, there was, as usual, a lot of cheating in that election.
Of course.
A lot of cheating in the 2018 election. But think about the 2020 election and how, I mean, I can't even imagine how awful it's going to be.
Oh, it's going to be terrible. But I'm starting to wonder if it's going to be enough.
Well, the margin of cheat is going to have to be so big.
Yeah.
In order for the Democrats to pull a win, because who at this point, who are they going to run against Trump?
We have no idea. You've got people jumping into the race after people are dropping out.
Right. But the candidates are ridiculous. I mean, they're not even ridiculous like the Republicans were ridiculous. I mean, it's not like Jeb. I mean, you have people that have literally no legitimate chance. I mean, it's like the third rate candidates. It's like Lyndon LaRoche is suddenly the prime candidate for the Democratic Party.
It's like Donald Trump winning
LaRoche. It's, you know, you got, you know, Biden, who is like, Jesus Christ.
Well,
I mean,
and you know,
can you imagine President Biden? Good God.
That's another thing that pisses me the fuck off. And I remember it was Dennis Miller when Ronald Reagan ran in 84. He was, I think, 75 years old. And Dennis Miller was joking on Saturday Night Live. You know, my grandfather's 75. We wouldn't even let him have the car keys. But Ronald Reagan's going to be president again. He was way too old at 75. Ridiculously old. How on earth could they put someone up this old for president? Joe Biden's 78.
Yeah, well, and he's senile. And creepy and insane.
I don't think he's senile. I think his brain has been rotted by syphilis.
Well, that could be too.
I mean,
but you got Elizabeth Warren. You've got this mad rush to the socialist left, and
what?
It's, you know, that I'm sorry, but that will not play in the U.S. Yeah. It plays in the Twitterati.
Yeah,
the Twitter crowd loves it. But you know what? Most people aren't on Twitter, and most people don't have anything to do with Twitter.
You've locked up the 20% that are going to vote for Democrats if it's a signpost.
Right.
You know, but they will vote anything with a D next to its name.
But that was a given anyway.
Right.
They've got all the dead people. They've got all the, you know, they got all the mail-in, you know, all the early votes. They got everything they were going to have anyway. What they don't have is that, you know, that so-called independent, undecided middle who are not going to vote for a socialist.
Yet. They're moving it's the Overton window.
Yeah.
They're moving it. You know, that, well, at least they're not a full-on communist like Bernie.
Well, there's another thing.
Which I still don't understand. I still don't understand. Bernie Sanders never had a job in the private sector in his entire life. But yet, he has three houses. He's worth millions.
Yeah. And he's a socialist.
Yeah.
Which makes perfect sense because that's how socialists roll.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they're the rulers.
Right.
You wouldn't expect them to go without. Come on. And the inner party always takes care of itself.
Can we talk about the color of the year?
If you'd like. Hello?
Wow. Somebody calling?
Yeah.
Who's calling?
I don't know.
My boy.
What? Oh.
Somebody was calling Jay.
Yeah, oh. Sorry.
Do you need to go, Jay?
No. I'll text him and tell him try again in 15 minutes.
Okay.
That's fine.
Priorities, man.
Yeah.
No, I mean, if you have to go, if your boy's calling you. That was the shittiest segue in history, Alan.
Yeah, but we're talking about the election and the campaign and all that. So.
Okay. So, again, shittiest segue. But so every December, Pantone, and I don't know if anybody's familiar except me with Pantone, every December they release the color of the year. And Jay, do you know what Pantone is?
They do colors.
They do. Yes, they do colors.
Color scaling. It's something men have no concept of. You see everything in the Crayola 8-color box.
Well, you'll right. love the color for this year.
Oh, boy. Yeah. So Pantone is a company, and they basically kind of, they're like the librarians of color. That's the only way I can describe it. It's like they look at all the colors. They give all the colors like numbers so that, let's say you want to get a specific color, you can color match a color and say, I want Pantone 365.2 or, you know, whatever.
They're an industry standard. They are to color what Sammy is to ammunition. Huh?
Yes.
Yep.
Correct. So every year, and I think this started in the year 2000, they have released the color of the year. And Pantone has tried to, you know, during the course of a year, they have kind of looked at media and they've looked at what's going on in the world and they've looked at, trends and clothing and fashion and house decor, whatever the fuck. And they choose, every December, they choose the color of the year for the upcoming year. And this year, they have chosen the color of the year for 2020. What is it? Classic blue.
But it's not political.
But they say it's not political.
But in a statement. I love the statement. We are living in a time that requires trust and faith. This is the kind of consistency and confidence that is expressed by Pantone Classic Blue.
Right.
But they're not political.
Not political.
Totally not political.
No. However, there are multiple, and I researched this while I was at work today, multiple articles saying, oh, Pantone, you are sending out a secret message. Go blue for 2020.
Yep.
And Pantone denies it. Oh, no. It's all about the color, and it's about, you know, creating this kind of feeling of calm and classic, and you feel secure and in these trying times, you know, go with this classic blue.
It's funny because left is always accusing the right of, and I'm making air quotes here, dog whistles. Mm. Oh, you're talking about school lunch. That's code word for minorities.
Right. Right.
People wearing black socks is cultural appropriation. You know, and this bizarre, twisted fucking bullshit. Pantone's like, oh, we can trust blue.
Blue. Yeah.
We need the consistency of blue.
Mm-hmm.
The year is blue. You know, blue. It's been around forever, blue.
You'd have right.
And social degenerate to want anything other than blue. But no, there's no politics there.
No politics involved. However, I just want to Pantone in, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Chick-fil-A is horrible because of something that one of the founders did many, many years ago, but there's nothing to be read into Pantone choosing blue in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Brita, you were...
No, I was just going to say that in years past, Pantone has made color, and this is so color nerdery, but, and I apologize to people who are not interested, but I think it speaks to our entire kind of cultural world that we live in. You know, we live in this media culture, you know, where everything's colors and images, and Pantone really tries to tap into that. And they have admitted in years past that their colors have been political. and I don't think they have not come out and said political, but they have kind of insinuated that their color choices are reflective of kind of these woke causes. For instance, in 2016, Pantone chose two colors, which was unprecedented. And the two colors were, what were the names of them? 2016, Rose Quartz and Serenity. Now, everybody can Google this from themselves, but Rose Quartz is kind of that soft, kind of pinky, kind of off pink color. And Serenity was a blue color, kind of like a really light, kind of light, soft blue. And they chose those two colors kind of meshing together as their color of the year. And the one of the reasons was why they chose this color was to speak of gender fluidity.
Oh boy.
Yes.
They did.
Of course they did. And this was 2016. So I believe and what year was it that they did coral? Last year was coral. Pantone color of the year was living coral. And they chose this living coral color, and they thought it was an animating and life-affirming color, and it was energizing and enlivens and blah-bitty-blah. But also, coral is dying because of global warming.
Right.
Yeah. So basically, and so, all the colors.
Right. Have so, been... actually, I looked at this and I thought, because they've chosen colors of the year since year 2000, have these all been political? Have these all have had some sort of political woke message? And no, it seems like it's been very recently that they've started with this political messaging with their colors. And, I think the color before coral was greenery, and it was all about like the environment and yada yada, you know, that sort of thing. And I can't remember what year it was, 2016. They chose a color that would be kind of really good for politicians to wear. It was a color Marsala. It's kind of browny red, kind of rich wine color. And they're all of the pictures. All of the articles that I saw with pictures of Marsala showed Barack Obama wearing a scarf in the same color. So, and I was thinking to myself, I'm like, you know, at what point do they start being really political with their color choices? And, you know, it was kind of within the last 5-6 years, I would say. Kind of at the same point when social media became this thing, right? And so social media is very visual. And so Pantone is like hopping on that train. Like, how can we put out our message? And how can we like be woke and like, you know, do this thing with color? But at the same time, and I think to myself, why does everything have to be political? Even color is political now. You know, this thing where Pantone used to be a thing for designers. Like they'd, you know, use Pantone colors to pick their colors and match their colors and, you know, for design elements.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, companies started hopping onto this Pantone trend. Like, I think it was Sephora that hopped on to Pantone, one of the first companies that hopped on, and they said, Sephora is a makeup company. They sell makeup. And they said, we're going to collaborate with Pantone and do a collection of colored makeup that matches the Pantone color of the year. And so it started kind of that way. And it caught on. And because of social media being so visual, you know, it's become a thing now, like the Pantone color of the year. But of course they can't resist the urge, right?
Sure.
Any company that's really liberal like that, they can't help themselves. They have to make it political because everything is political, right?
Yep.
But at the same time, it kind of cheapens it, which is my issue. So let's say you make a widget, and your widget is really kind of inconsequential and kind of like everybody uses your widget. Like, let's say a pencil. Okay. So you have a pencil, and it's a pencil, and everybody uses pencils, and big deal. But all of a sudden this company realizes, oh my God, social media, I can get my pencil out on social media. And people are looking at my pencil. All of a sudden the pencil needs to have a message.
Well, yeah.
And, you know, companies being what they are, they're, you know, think of all the big companies that we know are like Levi's and Starbucks and whatever the fuck. They're all liberal now because they're owned by those people. They need to have a woke message to go with their pencil on social media. And it cheapens the message, and it cheapens the pencil at the same time, because not everybody agrees with your message. And then as a result, people stop buying your pencil. And for what? Just sell your fucking pencil.
Oh, no, we can't do that.
Do you understand my train of thought? Like, yes. I feel like I'm on a tangent.
No, like, you're fine. It's perfect.
The Pantone color thing just bothers me at such a level. Like, I'm just like, it's color. It is like one of these, like, just everybody. I mean, aside from colorblind people, I apologize. But but I'm just saying that, like, it's a color. And you're trying to, like, it's a color.
Right.
How is it political? It cheapens the color, it cheapens you, it cheapens the message. There's no point to it, but they can't help themselves.
Well,
they can't help themselves because they have this, like, this morality tied to their politics that they feel like they need to proselytize despite, you know, it just being a fucking color.
And to bring it back around.
Yes.
They're doing the same thing with the impeachment. They've taken a constitutional process that was supposed to be a last ditch thing.
Right.
And they are making it purely political. The funny thing is
and they're admitting it that it's political.
Oh yeah.
I mean, accidentally they're admitting it, but they are admitting it.
Right. But remember Harry Reid.
Oh, bless his heart.
And
yes.
The nuclear option.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how that worked out?
It did not.
Yeah. And how many federal judges has Trump appointed? Like, all of them at this point? like so damn many.
Anybody heard from Ruth Ginsburg?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Right, exactly.
Anybody?
But what makes, you know, the Democrats have this, they have this problem where they assume that whatever they do, they'll be the only ones that ever do that. It'll never be used against them. You know, they pass a law, you know, that does what some dumb bullshit thing they want to do, and they just assume it'll never be used against them. And then it always is. You know, so it's, you know, they did the nuclear option. Oh, well, cuz expediency. We got to do this now, you know. It's, you know, it's the moral imperative. We have to, you know, nothing can stand in our way. And then, boy, did that backfire. And I have a feeling impeachment's, because once they make impeachment a political thing, you know, think about it.
Yes.
When the shoe's on the other foot, what's going to stop the Republicans? You know, remember when we had a Democratic president and a Republican House and Senate?
Mm-hmm.
You think that's never going to happen again, Democrats? You think if you make impeachment a political decision that a House controlled by the Republicans and a Senate controlled by the Republicans won't think twice about eliminating a Democratic president? Because that's the door you're opening.
Yep. Yep. They're counting on the Republicans not having the stones to do it.
Well, that may be.
You know,
that's entirely possible because the stupid party loves to be the losers.
Until the age of Trump, they might have been right.
Yeah. Well, they're still right. If you look at any average Republican that's not Trump, they're still a bunch of spineless.
Except for look what they did to Lindsey Graham.
He had a spinalectomy.
He had a replacement. Lily white bread, milk toast, fucking in the background, motherfucker. Who comes out like Genghis fucking Khan. He's like, he turned into Popeye. That's all I can stands. I can't stands no more. And he starts swinging to the bleachers. Yeah. You're like, what? Lindsey Graham said that? Huh?
Yeah, but for every one of those, you got a Jack Kemp. So,
but the thing is, when you get Lindsey Graham that worked up, you know, when you've got Paul Ryan going, "Fuck you, man! Fuck you!" Yeah, it's hold on. When Mitt Romney tells you to go fuck yourself, I mean, you know, there's something wrong there. I guess Mitt Romney's probably the wrong one because he's bucking for the Marion nomination. Following in the footsteps of fellow arch conservative Bill Weld.
Yeah, that's going to work out.
Yeah. No, I think they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are America's not serious party. Mm. As much as I may identify as a small L libertarian, the big L libertarian party can die in a fire.
Oh yeah,
you run Bill fucking Weld as a libertarian. You have lost me forever. You could dig up fucking. You could zombify John Moses Browning and run him, and I'd be like, I don't know about that, guys.
Wow.
Oh, I don't know, Jay.
Like, I'd have to think about it at least. It wouldn't be a hell yeah, Borther. This would be a, golly, Glavin, I don't know. just, you know, I mean, talk about not being able to get laid in a whorehouse with a fistful of 20s. I mean, come on. Ever a year.
I swear to God, this episode 350 is like the rantiest J-Rant show we have had. I can't remember one that had this great stuff in it.
It's just there's so much weapons grade stupid out there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean I haven't even been watching the impeachment. I've just been kind of giving it the side eye. And it's like this is like fractal dumb. Yes. This is dumb on top of dumb. Yes. On top of
it's,
dumb.
It's dumb on avocado toast.
Yeah. And then you look and it's like The left is like, this proves that Trump is going down, swell pension, blah, 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 blah. And the right is like, you guys okay? Like, do we need to call the right?
Bless your hearts.
We are not watching the same reality.
No, we're not. No, we're not.
I'm we're basically not. Watching Curly and Shemp trying to poke Mo in the eye and failing. And that's what this is. This is, it's the Three Stooges, but done badly. They're like, oh, we've got witnesses for impeachment. Look. And then I forget the gentleman's name, but he's like, does anyone here have actual proof of Trump doing anything? And they're all like, I'm under oath. Yeah, I'm going to shut the fuck up. Look at the time. I need to use the bathroom.
Yeah. Not a peep.
And then the one thing that can be said, there's no people of color in this witness stand. Like you didn't diversify your phony baloney list. That's the one thing that the one complaint they have. You know, you made this bullshit show, dog and pony show,
and you didn't put any people of color in it. I would have been like, thank you for not dragging people of color into this ridiculous shit show. You know, thank you for not dragging us down into this bottomless cesspool of idiocy.
Y'all notice how Jay identifies as a person of color?
I'm just stunned. Heretofore unseen levels of what the fuck.
Yep.
Like, we are going to have to, you know, much like the Scoville scale had to be produced to identify super, super hot peppers. There's going to have to be a new unit of measurement to show how stupid the impeachment proceedings have become. I am going to suggest we do Biden's. This is at least.
Oh, yeah.
I like this.
We may have hit 100 Bidens on this one.
That's dumb.
You know, I mean, you know, Patrick Starr from SpongeBob SquarePants, Parents Ask Your Kids, would be probably around 10 Bidens. The impeachment proceeding is now, we're going into a logarithmic scale to measure the number of Bidens to show you how stupid it is.
Nice.
You know, 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan would have bitch slapped someone live on national TV for this. He would have been like, shut the fuck up. It would have been Batman slapping Robin. You know, if Tip O'Neill had gone to Reagan and be like, we're going to impeach you over this, he'd be like, shut the fuck up, Tip. Slap.
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing is the Democrats of that era wouldn't have even tried to pull something like this.
He would have been like, I'm going to stomp a mud hole in Walter Mondale's ass for this. Oh, wait, he did. I'm starting to wonder if we're going to see like a McGovern-esque blowout. Just because the...
Well, I just want to suggest that everybody keep buying ammo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Gun sales are going up.
Because of 2016, the temper tantrum was bad. Oh, just wait.
Yeah. The Knicks checks for November were the second highest of all time.
Yeah, Black Friday was huge. Second biggest.
So
because you've got so many in the Democratic field going, hell yes, we're coming for your guns.
Yep.
All righty then.
All right. Come on. As they said in Gonzales. Come and take it.
Come and take them.
Mullen lobby.
People in Texas want me to take their guns. They keep telling me to come and get them.
Maybe that's why Beto thought that people would be okay with gun confiscation.
Alan, can you promise us that you're going to just check on Robert Francis from time to time, just to make sure he's not hurting himself?
What is he up to?
I picture him in a dark room. He's listening to like Nine Inch Nails and cutting himself.
He's wearing his little furry outfit.
His furry suit cutting himself, going, ah, I could have been so much.
Oh, no. Three days ago, the latest news in Beto, Democrat Beto O'Rourke turns his attention to flipping the Texas House.
Yeah, that didn't happen either.
I'm glad that he's being realistic.
Bless his heart.
Be Ted Cruz, but he thinks he's going to be this giant crusading force.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, the Democratic field is like this giant amorphous clown car. We're just going to keep throwing people out. And what's the one thing they're saying? They're like, there's no people of color represented. Like that's the important thing. Not... Everyone on the stage is batshit fucking crazy, but we don't have any people of color who are equally batshit fucking crazy. Yeah.
Well, you can
again,
like Rita said, stock up on your ammo because no matter who wins 2020,
you would think the minorities would all be like, you know what? Thank you for not associating us with this giant fucking dumpster fire. Al Green, apparently. Oh, boy. Yeah. None of your witnesses were black. Like, do you not understand the point of witnesses? I mean, obviously, the Democrats don't.
No.
Because when you say witness, it foolishly leads the reader to think that they, I don't know, witnessed something.
But see, that's the whole point, Jay. None of these witnesses actually witnessed anything. So it would have been entirely reasonable to throw in a person of color or two there just to make it, you know, palatable. I mean, it's all made up bullshit anyway. So why not? He's got a legitimate point, you know, in our phony baloney, you know, kangaroo court, you know, how come we didn't think to have some people of color up there?
It's complete and utter bullshit. We should at least have diversity.
Right.
Yeah. You need a handicapped one and a gay one and a black one and maybe a Hispanic. If you can combine them all, that'd be perfect.
a gay, disabled, Hispanic Jew.
Tranny.
There you go.
There we go.
Tranny.
There you go.
Gay, Hispanic Jew, tranny.
Yeah.
But yeah. And now Biden's saying, oh, Kamala Harris could be my vice president.
Oh, you know, boy.
I don't know. Maybe he thinks Hunter will impregnate her. I don't know.
Does he want to smell her hair?
I bet he does.
Or perhaps bite her finger.
I'm making a face.
Or let her sit in his lap and rub his furry legs.
Oh God. Ew.
But the whole world is laughing at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because he's the funny one.
Justin Trudeau is the one that matters here, folks.
All right.
You know, oh Lord.
Yeah,
okay.
We're well over.
Everybody got a bonus this evening.
That's right.
Right. Like a bonus.
Congratulations.
Got extra ranty me. Now, I'm a little concerned that my mic didn't cut out.
It didn't.
It did not.
It's supposed to cut out when I get super ranty, but
no.
Nice.
It got a little quiet. You were kind of overdriving it. It passed, but it didn't cut out.
This is like next level stupid. You know, that's the whole thing. This is like, hold on, I got to invent new adjectives for this. I gotta, you know, roll up my sleeves, grab my keyboard, and like, huh, hold my beer and watch this shit, folks. Because we got there's a lot of endumming to cover.
We have a whole nother year.
Oh, yeah. It's only going to get worse.
We have 11 more months of this.
Yeah. Best season of the president ever.
Presidency.
It is definitely the most entertaining. Dude, where's my car kind of way sometimes.
Yeah. The impeachment proceedings make Dude, Where's My Car look like fucking War and Peace.
Yeah.
You know, it's starting to look like, you know, the Ten Commandments at this point.
All right, everybody. Have a good weekend.
Next week.
Good night, everybody.
Goodness, we promise.
That's right.
All right, y'all.
Okay. Good night. Good night.